I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that we read earlier in the book of Genesis, and particularly we're beginning this morning to focus on Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where God said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." In the beginning, before there were spectacular snow-capped mountains or thriving coral ecosystems under the sea, before there were diverse terrestrial habitats supporting intriguing flora and fauna, before there was the vast expanse of lifeless space, before there was man or woman, before there was boy or girl, there was God. Eternally self-existent, this God had no need of this world or any of its inhabitants. Immensely powerful, this God brought this world into existence. Boundless in knowledge, this God knows every detail of every atom that forms this world. Unwavering in righteousness and justice, this God does all things well. Perfect in love and kindness, this God relates to his creatures. He is totally good. And out of his goodness, and out of his knowledge, and out of his love and kindness, and his righteousness and justice, out of his power, God brought forth this world. He brought it into being to display his glory and to share it with humanity. He brought forth a son out of the dust of the ground and crowned him with dignity and honor, to reign over creation as the image and likeness of God. And so God placed man in a garden that he had prepared for him, and in which he provided for him everything that was necessary for life and godlikeness. But into this garden slunk a creature who was deceptive, a liar and a murderer. And he approached Eve, and he began to interrogate her. And in his questions, he sought to sow a seed of doubt in her mind concerning the kindness of God, the goodness of God, the righteousness and justice of God, even the power of God. And through that temptation of Eve and the failure of Adam to uphold the truth, the word of God that he had received, brokenness was brought into this perfect world. Our first parents rebelled against God. They didn't believe his word. Instead, they believed the word of a deceiver, of a liar, of an enemy of the Creator. And so they rebelled against God as they followed this new word, this new way of life, in distrust of God and His goodness, in denial of His power and His righteousness. But not only did this rebellion against God affect their relationship with God, it brought disharmony between Adam and Eve. There was an immediate brokenness in their own relationship as Adam blames his wife for what has happened and is unwilling to take responsibility for these events. And so hatred and disharmony has come into every human relationship. But more than this, the world that God had created for man to rule over, that he might reign over it with godlike dignity and authority, this world turned against man with the approval of the righteous God. The man who had rebelled against God now finds that the world that he lives in is rebelling against him. And in the midst of all of this, there is a more significant rebellion. There is an enmity between the serpent and the woman, and between the serpent's seed and the woman's seed. And into this sad situation, God speaks. And he speaks even as he pronounces his judgment upon Satan in the guise of this serpent. His speech brings a promise of hope, a promise of salvation. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. There will be a war. And in this war, both parties will be injured, but one will receive a mortal wound. One will be destroyed. And God's promise here in the midst of this curse, in the midst of his judgment for mankind's rebellion against him, in the midst of the promise of pain in childbirth, of enmity in relationships, of labour and sweat in life, in the midst of all of this gloom and doom, there is a light shining, the light of hope, that the seed of the woman would prevail and would destroy the seed of the serpent. And so here at the very beginning of mankind's nightmare existence in this world, God promises a triumphant Saviour. And so Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, a son, a seed of a woman, is born into this world, is born to fight the good fight, is born to take up arms against Satan, is born to enter into battle with the deceiver and the murderer. But Cain failed to crush the serpent. Instead, Cain demonstrated that he was in fact a seed of the serpent. He was a child of this murderer and became a murderer himself. He was an offspring of this deceiver and told lies himself. The hope of mankind was not to be found in Cain. And generation after generation passed, and the serpent's seed flourished in life after life, heart after heart, family after family, nation after nation. His deception spread, his murderous heart multiplied in the hearts of men and women. Where is the promise of God in this world of gloom, in this world of death, in this world of brokenness, in this world of pain? Where is the deliverer who was promised? Where is the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent and destroy his works in this world? Where is he? But God has not forgotten his promise. And in the course of time, he called a man out of the midst of the worship of idols, out of the midst of the darkness of a world in rebellion against its creator. God spoke into the gloom and into the deadness, and a man heard his voice and responded with faith and trusted the word of God and came out of that darkness and into the light of the life of God. And that man was Abraham, who believed God, who believed his word, who believed his promises, who trusted in them. And to God, to Abraham, God made the promise that he would have seed. That he would have a seed. That he would have the seed of the woman that had been promised generations earlier. And that through this seed, the nations would be blessed. In Genesis chapter 22 and verses 17 and 18, God told Abraham, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Nations have been born of the seed of the woman. They are scattering and spreading through all the world, and as they do so, they are spreading the serpent's seed. They're spreading the darkness, they're spreading the lies, they're spreading the death that this serpent brought into the world through his temptation of Eve and Adam's failure to stand firm. And these nations now dispersing through all the world, from among them, one man is called out. One man is chosen. One man hears the voice of God and believes the voice of God and responds to the voice of God and is given a promise of God that the Saviour, the triumphant Saviour, was still in God's plan, still in God's purpose, and that he would come. And more glorious than the reality of his coming is that his coming would be for all nations. Though one man is called, one man hears, one man believes, the Saviour would come to bless all the nations of the world. That there would be no tribe, no language, no nation left untouched by this Saviour's power to transform and free from the clutches of Satan and from the reality of death, that he would bring life, a universal Saviour for a world shrouded in darkness and death. This is the promise of God. The seed of the woman would come, the seed of Abraham, to bless all the nations with salvation. The seed who would destroy the seed of the serpent. And so Abraham gives birth to a son, Isaac. And Isaac gives birth to a son, Jacob. And Jacob, he has 12 sons. And what a motley bunch they are. You wouldn't be proud to have most of them as your acquaintances. They weren't nice people. They had too much of the heart of the deceiver in them. Too much of his murderous intent. Too much of that fallen, sinful nature that they had inherited from their first father, Adam. And it was there, and it seeped through every pore of their bodies, and their works were evil, full of brutality, unrighteous. It seems that the promise of God is failing, that the seed of Abraham should turn out to be such offspring as these. And while there are glimmers amongst them and the descendants who would follow them, there is not a man, woman, or child among them whose heart is not corrupted by sin, who could stand before the living God with head held high and confident of acceptance with him. One who had the favour of God upon him, who was beloved by God, would confess, "In sin my mother conceived me." And that is the reality for all the world. As generation gives way to generation, it is a world in which the seed of the serpent seems to prevail. The seed of the serpent has conquered. The seed of the serpent reigns in every heart and every life and produces more and more fruit of ugliness and deceit and death. What is to come of this world? What is to come of the promise of a triumphant Saviour? What is to come of the promise of a universal Saviour? When man cannot reproduce a righteous man, and the original promise then seems to be worthless, hopeless. But God speaks, and he reveals that his promise is not in vain, and his plan has not come to nothing, and Satan isn't the one who crushes the head, though he may bruise the heel. And through the prophet Isaiah, God speaks to the descendants of Abraham, and he says in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." And later in chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7, he would go on to say, "To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." And so God reveals that it is the seed of woman, begotten by God, who would save sinners. It is the God who is with us, the God who comes among us, the God who clothes himself in our humanity, who takes upon himself our nature, who will accomplish this salvation. God's plan to redeem sinful humanity from its slavery to Satan and sin and death is to come himself as the Saviour. And so, born of a virgin, by the Holy Spirit, the Almighty God will sit on the throne of David as eternal King to establish it in justice and righteousness. No man could do it, but this God-man will do it. He is the promised Saviour. The God who reigns over all of this world, the God who was self-existent, immensely powerful, boundless in knowledge, unwavering in righteousness and justice, perfect in love and kindness, totally good, became a man. And he became a man in order to save those who were at war with him. Those who could do no good thing in his sight. Those whose lives were lives of deception and hatred and murder. Broken lives that couldn't self-heal. And the God of glory came into this world to save. And so he came at the appointed time. The son of Mary, the Virgin of Nazareth. He is the seed of the woman. He is the seed of Abraham. Luke tells us the story in his Gospel, and in chapter 1 and verses 31 through 33 we read, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Saviour. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Jesus of Nazareth is the Saviour promised long ago to Adam and Eve. He is the one who, through his righteous life, has prevailed against Satan. He has won the victory over temptation. He has gained the mastery over this slave driver. And through his substitutionary death on the cross, he justifies sinners. He makes them right in God's sight. This holy God, clothed in our humanity, takes the place of sinners and bears the judgment of God against them, that they might be freed to serve him, freed to live with him forever in his kingdom. This is the Saviour that was promised long ago, and who has come into this world, and who has gained the victory. Satan is destroyed, and his works are being brought to an end. The darkness of this world is being lifted as the gospel of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed, and the powers of darkness are not able to prevail against it. The light shines in the darkness, and by the grace and the mercy of God, today the darkness is lifted, and blind eyes are made able to see, and deaf ears are opened to hear, and hard hearts are softened to receive this Saviour, the promised Saviour of God, who gains the victory over the serpent's seed. And all who trust in him will find that in their own lives, the offspring of Satan is destroyed. Sin no longer holds sway for them. Its power is destroyed by this new king who lives and reigns within them by his Spirit. And so I urge you this morning, if you've not come to this promised Saviour, this seed of the woman, this seed of Abraham, this son of Mary, come to him this morning. Believe the word of God. Don't carry on believing the lies of Satan. They will lead you to death and to judgment beyond. But the word of God is life, if you will believe it and live by it. Let's pray. Our Father, we do ask that you would have mercy on us this morning, that you would enable us to believe your word, to believe your promise, the promise of a Saviour, that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Lord, it is a miracle that we who were such rebels against you, whose minds were far from you and led us further and further away from you in our actions, should be made new, should be made alive. It is a miracle of your love and mercy towards sinners, that rebels should be reconciled to you. We pray that that mercy may be known among us this morning. That you would give life. That you would destroy the seed of the serpent in the hearts of everyone here. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.